Hello, this is Richard Carafiel from Agility PR Solutions, and welcome to PR Profiles, a video series and podcast where we chat with experts in the PR and communications industry. We think PR is the most formidable, dynamic, and rewarding field there is, and we wanted to introduce you to some of our favorite powerhouses in the industry. Today, we're speaking with Arlie Vasconcelos, founder and managing director at The Agency, a silver award winner for the 2022 Bulldog PR Awards Best PR and Communications Agency Team of the Year. Hi, Arlie.
Hi, Richard. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Pleasure to have you. Thanks for joining us. So first of all, just tell us a little bit about yourself and the agency.
Sure. Yeah, happy to. So as you kindly introduced me, I'm the founder and managing director. We are a strategic communications firm, and we specialize in working with innovators. So those are folks working at the intersection of technology and business to business, or as we've typed it, B2B. Yeah, exactly. So really our goal is to work with organizations that are pushing the envelope in their sector to think and act differently and change the way their industry operates. And I kind of came at this in a, as most people do, a roundabout way. I started my PR career in travel and tourism, working for Whistler Blackcomb and Virgin Holidays in the UK and World Travel Market. And when I was at World Travel Market, I discovered the world of B2B and I fell in love with it. And so when I moved back to Canada after being abroad for 12 years, I founded The Agency. And my motto for a really long time was, well, if this doesn't work, I'll go get a job. And my team finally, I think it was 2 years ago, said, Arlie, you need to stop saying that, or it means the rest of us are out of a job.
There you go. That's a good way to look at it. I could see why they would say that. But yeah, that's interesting. From travel to B2B, that's a broad span there.
It is.
So
yeah.
All right. Well,
and I think that's what allows us to work across so many different sectors. So we have clients in ag, we have clients in manufacturing, we have clients in, you know, pure SaaS technology. We have customers we work with in transportation. We have some really phenomenal customers in the environmental and clean tech space. So I think having had exposure to a lot of different industries as I was building my career has helped us to be very nimble in the markets we serve.
All right. Very cool. Very cool. Well, thanks for sharing all that. All right, so at Agility, we like to talk a lot about the importance of building positive relationships with the media. In a blog for your agency, you wrote that while it is important to build good relationships with journalists, it's not the be-all and end-all of media relations. What matters most when reaching out to the media is having a good story to pitch. Makes perfect sense. So can you tell us why having a good story to pitch is the primary step in media relations, and what to you constitutes a good story?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to start with a little bit of an anecdote. And it's a twofold story. So when I first started working in PR, I had who has now become a very good friend of mine, and is an editor in chief at a prominent publication. She started her career at the same time, myself on the PR side, herself on the media side. And we were both living in Whistler, and she was covering stories and I was pitching them. And over the past 20 years, you know, we've built a really great friendship. But I very much, and I think one of the reasons why we've built such a good friendship is I understand that she's got a job to do. She's got an audience that she serves. And so I only pitch her or reach out to her, have our team reach out to her when we've got something that is relevant to her audience and to the people that her publication are writing for. And sort of the second part of this anecdote is where I really, I trial by fire, I had to learn the art of a good pitch. when I moved to London, I showed up in London, England with 4 suitcases, and my husband and I had a bet of who was going to get the first job. And I had very few media contacts over in the UK. And I landed a really great job with Virgin Holidays, and I had to build a media Rolodex. So for me, that meant picking up the phone and cold calling and cold pitching. And I remember the first time I picked up the phone and I called a journalist that we'd been trying to get for a while from the Times. And he hung up on me in the first 30 seconds because I didn't have my pitch down. Mm-hmm. And I remember, you know, a few months or a while later, bumping into him at an event and saying, thank you for hanging up on me. Because it forced me to really understand that it's my job to communicate to the journalists why the story is good and why it's relevant to their audiences. They're just doing a job. They're being told by their editors, by their publishers, you need to write about X, or you need to cover, you know, X event or whatnot. It's my job as a PR practitioner to make sure that I'm giving them the right information to help, to facilitate and help them build a good story. Mm-hmm. So regardless of how good your relationship with a journalist is, if the story doesn't intrigue their audience, they're not going to publish it. And what makes a good story is that it communicates a clear message. It's comprehensive. It's relevant. You know, in some cases, it's entertaining. And it's really about helping the journalist to grab the attention of their readers, to provide their readers or viewers or listeners with all of the necessary information in one place.
Mm-hmm. That's very good. And as that journalist demonstrates to you, it's got to be a story that sells itself pretty quickly, or else you're going to get ignored or hung up on, or you're going to get deleted pretty quickly. Yeah, all right, good.
Exactly.
All right. Well, those are all certainly good foundations of a good story. Thanks for sharing all that. Okay, now what are the secrets to a successful media interview to you? How do you prepare your clients to speak to the media, whether it's on or off camera?
Mm-hmm. So we do a lot of media training, and we really value the practice that we give our clients in media training. And so I think, first and foremost, it's really about practicing and being prepared and understanding the purpose of the interview. And once you understand the purpose, then it's being very pragmatic about your goal. So what is it that I'm trying to achieve? And when I give a media training session to a group of clients or individuals, I often say to them, you know, watch news clips of your favorite celebrities and your most loathed celebrities, your favorite politicians, your most loathed politicians, because those individuals have been media trained within an inch of their life. But the ones that are good at giving a good interview, they always have a goal, and you can always tell that they're prepared. And as much as they give thoughtful answers, their answers always tie back to that one core message that they're trying to communicate to the audience. And I think that's so important. And even if you take time to write down, this is what I want people to come away with after hearing me or reading this or watching my video clip, it's so valuable, because you can always tell the interviews that have gone higgledy-piggledy. And oftentimes they don't get used, or you get, you know, a tiny little clip, or you can see the reporter working really hard to keep it on track. And it's not their job to keep the interview on track. It's your job to, as the person being interviewed, to give good answers that can then be elaborated. And I guess probably the final tip that I say to goal setting in an interview and why it's so important is because as human beings, as viewers, as consumers of media, especially now, we are just inundated with messages. And it used to be you could retain three things in your brain at once. And I swear we have the attention span of goldfish now, so we can probably retain one thing. Mm-hmm. And so you need to think about with that interview, what is that one thing I want people retaining and coming away with, and maybe actioning as a result of it. So that's kind of my philosophy on media training and why I find it so valuable.
Right. It is indeed very valuable. And I agree with you. You know, what's the one thing you want people to remember and take away from this interview? And that's the point you need to keep bringing it back to, so that's a very good point. And thanks for sharing that. All right, now, you and your agency specialize in Canadian B2B tech innovation companies. How do you implement this idea? How do you implement this idea of power and purpose behind a PR strategy when you're working with these types of clients?
So our job as their strategic partner is really to understand what they do. And a lot of the individuals and the companies and the organizations that we work with are ridiculously smart people. They're building technologies, they're building solutions, they're building software, hardware that's going to potentially change the world. They're not always necessarily as effective at communicating it. They get very technical, very fast. So our job is to really come in and say, let me understand what you do so that I could potentially go to a sales meeting and sell your product. That level of detail is where we want to go with our customers. So for example, we work with a rapidly scaling company in the energy transition sector, who the founders came out of the oil and gas industry. And when they came to us, their content was full of jargon. It was full of buzzwords. It was overwhelming. So we sat them down and we really said, okay, what is the core of what you do? And it was our job to take, and they had service offerings and they had products and, they had solutions and consulting and all of these things in between. And so it was our job to really distill down that language so that everyone from the CEO to administrators that they're selling to can understand and grasp what they can do for them. So it's like, how do we give you the language that when you're going in to talk to anyone from the C-suite to the admin who's going to roll out the emails that say, download this software, goes, I get it. I get why we're doing this. I get why we're using this, this company and working with them. So when we do that, we really truly understand what our client's building, and then the story almost writes itself, and so do the tactics. And one of the philosophies that we tell clients all the time is it's our job to help you tell the right story to the right people on the right channels. And that doesn't mean everyone everywhere. And if you take the time to listen to your target audience and what they want you to do or how you can solve their problem, and to truly listen, you actually can be quite successful. So that's really how we work with our clients and how we really help them to build out that, not only that foundational messaging, but it kind of then the whole program sort of writes itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see. Yeah, it's interesting with B2B, particularly because it is distinct in its approach to media relations. You're not necessarily trying to grow your audience as much as talk directly to your audience and tell them why they should be interested in you. And I think that's an interesting distinction. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. So exactly as you say, in B2B PR, you're not trying to talk to everyone everywhere. And one tip that I give to clients on a regular basis is I ask them to really think deeply about do they want their name in lights, i.e. do they want, you know, big name brand news media? The example that I used to use all the time when, you know, she was still live on network television every afternoon was Oprah. Do you want your name on light, in lights? Do you want to be on Oprah? And oftentimes they, yeah, well, yeah, of course I do. And I'm going, but is that your target audience? Are suburban moms, probably soccer moms, is that your target audience? Well, no. Okay. So let's be more pragmatic. And maybe it's not as glamorous, but let's work with those trade publications, those niche publications where your exact audience is reading and where you can probably get in front of the exact person that would buy from you. And let's get your name in lights there, because in the end, that's a higher value to you than a public, you know, a shout out on Oprah. Sure, you're going to get lots of hits to your website, but they're not going to convert to anything.
Yeah, that's a pretty good example, a pretty good way to put it. You know, do you want to be famous or do you want to move product? You know, so it does depend on who you're reaching and how. So yeah, that's exactly. A cool example. All right, thanks. All right, now in your article for Forbes that you wrote, you say that an overall crisis communications plan should always be guided by the four basics of good communication, which are honesty, transparency, efficiency, and authenticity. Now, can you unpack each of those elements a little bit and tell me why they're so important during a high-stress situation?
Absolutely, absolutely. So let's unpack honesty first. The public are great lie detectors. It's why Pinocchio is a story that continues to be told through time. We can see when people are lying. And if you're building a campaign around untruths or half-truths, you'll get found out. So I've had clients in the past ask us to bend the truth before. And we fired them because they honestly don't align with our values. And it never works out in the long run. So transparency, and a lot of people think that honesty and transparency are interchangeable. Here's where they differ. We're always honest and upfront about what it is that we're trying to achieve for any particular campaign or message, but it doesn't mean that you need to reveal all your cards at once. You can keep some closer to your chest until you're ready to talk about them. Especially in this age when audiences demand more accountability. So companies, both big and small, are expected to be transparent about who they are. So those are kind of the first two. Efficiency is something that a lot of people new to the PR industry, new grads, struggle with. And it's a skill that you absolutely need to learn. I call it being equally right-brained and left-brained. So you need to be equally creative as well as like have your type A checklist with 900 detail points in them. So what it really boils down to is, why say something in 20 words when you can say it in 10? And in a time of crisis, you've only got so much bandwidth for how quickly you can get in front of people. And if you don't capture their attention right away, you're often missing the opportunity. So it's really about working smarter, not harder.
Right.
Yeah. And then the final one, authenticity. So that's really, and this is one I really believe in, that it's never been as important as it is today, especially as more companies and consumers are looking to corporate social responsibility, they're looking to ESG, they're prioritizing diversity, equity, inclusion, in their buying habits, in their spending, and how they invest. So if you don't truly practice what you're preaching, your audience are savvy and they'll see right through it. And you can no longer say, yes, we're committed to being authentic to our values, and not doing anything, even if it's very slowly and you're incrementally making changes, because you can't just change everything at once, especially as a, you know, a large Fortune 500 or enterprise type company. But if you're willing to be authentic about how you're working towards these changes in an incremental way, I think people really, they value that. And so authenticity in crisis is really about leaning into your brand values and brand voice and sharing the facts of the situation as needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with all four of those points. And what I think the efficiency one ties it all together, because like you say, why say something in 20 words when you could say it in 10? Not only is it good to do that, because otherwise it sounds confusing if you use too many words, but it also indicates or suggests, maybe, especially for younger audiences who are more skeptical, that you might be trying to be a little bit intransparent, you know, or not quite as honest as you can be. So I think the efficiency is one of the keys there that ties it all together. So thank you for sharing those.
No worries.
Wonderful. All right. Now, what to you is the best thing about PR?
What is the best thing? I mean, there's a lot of fantastic things. I wouldn't have stayed in this career for coming up on 25 years if I didn't like it. First, it's no 2 days are ever the same. And as I kind of referenced in my last answer, I get to channel both my analytical checklist obsessed side of my brain, and I get to also nourish my crazy creative side, where I'm going, hey, we gotta get some attention for this. What if we? An example of that is, you know, when I was in London at Virgin Holidays and we were launching a big cruise program, and we didn't want to just do the same old here. Well, A, the cruise bookings were a couple of months out, so we didn't want to just do a usual press trip, and we had those planned, but we needed to get some attention right off the bat. And so instead I partnered with a local radio station and we wrapped their cars in Virgin branding. And then we had like a big cruise boat, a boat built, and we towed it on a trailer throughout all of London, Greater London. And people spotted the boat. And it was a really fun way to have folks get engaged. See, why is there a boat on a trailer driving beside me? Which was really creative and really fun. And then the analytical side is, you know, to actually get a stunt like that off the ground, you have spreadsheets upon spreadsheets of checklists, and when's the vehicle getting wrapped, and who is showing up to do the driving, and what times are we getting on the radio slot where we're getting our shout outs and our call outs? Where are we driving these people to? Are we driving them to a website? Are we asking them to, you know, download a phone number? What, engage with us on social media? What are we asking them to do? So I think that is kind of one of the big things. I'd say the other one is that I get to meet incredibly smart people who are doing really cool things. And as I said earlier, you know, a lot of our clients are working on innovations that really can change the world. And it's fantastic that we get to be part of that. Like one of our clients is reinventing the power grid system to make electrification of cars more smooth and possible. You know, it's stuff like that jazzes me to get up and get out of bed.
There you go. Yeah. Well, you used some good words there. Fun and exciting, particularly. Those are cool things about PR and how rewarding it is when all those efforts really come together. It's such a good feeling. Yeah. All right. Good. All right. This is kind of a bittersweet question, I guess you could say, but what has been your biggest failure and what lessons did you learn?
Mm-hmm. I mean, failure is part of learning. And if you can't embrace failure and learn from it and pick yourself up and dust yourself off, I don't know, you might be a narcissist, or maybe you've chosen the wrong career. I've had my fair share of failures over the years, and they've always been really great learning opportunities. I'd say a pretty big one that really helped us to change process and change some the way we sort of work is it's a current client that we work with. We've worked with them for over 3 years now. And in our first year of working together, we attended a big global conference with them. And one of their VPs was giving a huge presentation as part of the conference track. And we helped to write the presentation. We built the key messages. We had a ton of practice sessions together and thought they were spot on. And this VP gets on stage and becomes a deer in headlights and starts to explain the methodology in the presentation instead of actually giving the presentation. And meanwhile, I'm at the booth because our client is also meeting a bunch of high-level government officials. And one of my PR directors is watching the presentation, and I'm getting these texts of like, oh my God, it's going off track. What do I do? Act. And within 10 minutes, a full room emptied. And we took it really personally, me, myself especially, because I did the training, I did the coaching, I did the practice. And it was information that the sector was really interested in learning. And so I went away and, you know, I licked my wounds for a few days. I may have had a few glasses of wine that night. And I realized that I needed to change the way I trained people to speak for presentations. So now, before getting into their practice sessions, we ask clients to tell us their pitch or give us their first key message, their top three key messages on the spot, cold, before we even get into any kind of training, any kind of practice. And it's made a world of difference because we're our own worst critics. And when we do that, our clients, they're always their own worst critics. And I ask them, how do you think that went? And after, you know, it was terrible and I missed this and I didn't talk about this and I didn't do that. And so we take that. And then what I really learned is taking that and taking their critical feedback, but really diving into an understanding the personality of the person giving the presentation and understanding their nature and changing the way I practice with them and I train them to work with their nature and personality instead of here are a bunch of points that you need to memorize or you need to learn and talk about. Because not everyone can get up on stage and give a TED talk. And not everybody is good at getting up on stage and giving a TED talk. And most people can give a very solid, very strong presentation without it being a TED talk style. And so how do I work with those individuals to fit the presentation into a style and into a format that fits their strengths?
Yeah, that's a great example. Because obviously there are going to be failures, and if you can't accept that there are going to be, you're going to have a hard time learning anything. But that's a great example about how maybe you should restructure the way you're approaching them for their deliveries and their presentations. Great example. Thank you. All right. All right. Now, so what advice would you give students or people that are just starting out?
Yeah. I like myself, who I've stayed in the PR industry, but I've vastly changed from the type of, you know, from one type of PR that I did to what I'm currently doing. So I think first and foremost, it's about finding the stories that you're passionate about, because if you can do that, then you're going to figure out the industry or sector or niche that you want to work in. Because every industry is not for everyone. While some people love sports, another person might be bored to tears in a sports role. So I think that's first and foremost. Get as much experience as you can. Volunteer, offer your time, apply for internships. I knew I wanted to build a career in PR, and I started pounding the pavement for internships after my first year of university in my communications degree. And everything I learned was a building block for building out more strategic skills. Finally, I think staying up on trends and technologies is really important, but understanding the purpose behind those technologies. So the world is moving at a faster pace, and we use social media and whatnot now. But what is today's social media 100 years ago was the daily newspapers and the town crier standing on a corner yelling out headlines and news tidbits. So don't just take the new technologies at face value. Really try to say, okay, what is this replacing or what is this building on in terms of a tool that we already have? And I think always be learning. I constantly am reading new things, consuming new things, listening to podcasts, watching interesting people, you know, seeking out new experts. Always be learning.
Yeah, those are all great points. And, you know, I use your own example, you know, of going from travel to B2B tech, you know, complete 180, you know, so it's not only what are you good at, but it's also what interests you and where do you see your skills really parlaying out. So excellent advice. Thank you. All right. And finally, Arlie, how can people connect with you?
Yeah. So obviously our website, theagencyinc.ca. Or through email and social media. We've got a really strong presence on LinkedIn. So if people search The Agency Communications, we will come up and they just need to look for the black and yellow logo that says for innovators.
There you go. All right. Thank you. All right. That's all the time we have, everybody. Again, we've been chatting with Arlie Vasconcelos, founder and managing director at The Agency. So thanks for joining us today. We really appreciate it, Arlie.
Thanks so much, Richard.
Absolutely. We hope you enjoyed this episode of PR Profiles brought to you by Agility PR Solutions. If you're a fan of our podcast, please consider leaving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify to help others discover our show. And thank you all for tuning in. I'm Richard Carafell with Agility PR Solutions, and we'll see you on the next episode.